Welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We have begun reading through the book of Acts of the Apostles. We are in chapter 1 here on this Tuesday of Holy Week. And I guess we're on the good side of the story now. we read last week, I think, verse 9 of chapter 1. And after saying these things, as they were looking, watching, epeirthe, he was taken up, and a cloud welcomed him or received him from their eyes. So the ascension, as Luke narrates it here. And so we can pick up just at verse 10. And maybe we'll just do verse 10, which would sound something like, Kai hos a tenidzantes eisan, eis ton uranon, Periuamenu autu, kai idu, andras dua, par estekesan autois, en este seze lucais. So, our friend hos, can be, I think maybe we might see it in the New Testament more as a comparative particle, as or like. But it can also have a temporal meaning. It can have a causal meaning. It can have all kinds of meanings, actually. But here it's probably temporal, so while, right? And we have the form of the linking verb, eisan, is the imperfect of eime. And then the participle, atenidzantes, from atenidzo, which means to stare at or to gaze intently. I was curious. I looked this up. Paul uses this verb twice in 2 Corinthians, and then I think it's about 12 times it's in Luke and mostly Acts. It's the only Luke is the writer who likes this verb. And with the linking verb and the participle, this we'd call this a periphrastic construction. It's just like the English progressive perfect. They were staring. And the participle then agrees in gender, number, and case with the implied subject of eisan, they. So, and, while, as, they were staring into the heaven, or we might even say into the sky, for crying out loud. You know, I bet I was 50 years old before I realized that the planet Uranus is the Greek word uranos.
Oh, yeah.
I never thought about that. So, and you're at least, you're 50. Yeah. So I thought, yeah, uranos. Oh, that's why that's called that. So, better late than never. That's my motto. That should be our motto for Greek Club. I'll have to translate that into Greek. Better late than never. They were gazing into the sky, and now a genitive absolute, poriuomai, our friend, means to journey or go. And I suppose this is probably temporal, while he was going, while he was journeying. And now we have kai adu, even look. Matthew loves this little particle, idu. Other New Testament writers use it as well. Strictly speaking, it's actually an imperative from horao. The third principle horao, part of horao is eidon. And then the participle is id, and the imperatives are id in their stem. Not that it matters. It's kind of like hine in Hebrew, sort of look. Looky here. So, and look, andres dua, two men. Interesting, calls them andreses. You know, and it seems pretty clear that they're angels or something. Two men. Now, par este caisson, that's a little bit of a difficult form. This is from par este mi, and it is actually in form a pluperfect. There is, yeah, and I'll just say, don't ask me why. I looked it up. It's a pluperfect indicative active third plural. Now, normally a pluperfect, we would translate, they had stood. But and again, this is the sort of the lexical flexibility of histemi and its compounds. The pluperfect of histemi and its compounds just sort of has a simple past action meaning here in Acts 1, verse 10. So we're standing, or stood, or were present, Par istemi really means to be present. So, and look, two men were present to them in esthese lukais, white clothing. This is kind of an odd dative plural form for the noun esthes. It's like it's got an extra syllable in there. But this is the form that you get sometimes. So it parses as dative plural. I think it must be feminine plural dative. So the angels or the males there are in white clothing, and they are present as the disciples are looking intently up into the sky. Questions, comments about verse 10. Not too bad, really. I had to look up some of the vocab and verify some of the parsing. All right, verse 11. Hoi kai epon andres galilaioi te hestekate emblepantes eston uranon. Houtos ha Jesus ha analem theis af humon eston uranon. Houtos elusitai han tropon e theasaste autan poriuamenon eston uranon. So we start with a relative pronoun, and again, you can always tell it's a relative because it has a rough breathing and an accent mark, right? So that's what would distinguish it, for instance, from an article, which would not have an accent. So who also said? Andres, men Galileans. Here's an interesting possibility. Drop down to verse 16 and see you've got Peter is going to talk to the assembly there in the upper room, and he starts out, Andres Adolfoi, men, brothers. Here we have men, Galileans. Dr. James W. Vells, who is good for many things, actually, but he is often good for obscure Greek references, he told me, and he showed me in Smythe's Classical Grammar, it's actually paragraph 986, I think, that sometimes if you add on air to public address, public speech, it's a sign of respect. So it's possible that the angels are actually saying, esteemed Galileans. So literally it's men Galileans or males Galileans, right? So that's an interesting possibility, are the angels actually speaking respectfully to the apostles gathered there on the Mount of Olives. I don't know, but it's a possibility. So men, literally men, Galileans, te is normally means who or what, but in the accusative as here it can mean why. Why? Now the perfect of histemi, which again, you have to remember to look this up. The perfect active of histemi has a present intransitive meaning. So why are you plural standing? It's just one of those things about histemi. And by the way, the best place, to be honest, to summarize this kind of lexical shifting around with histeminous compounds is in Dr. James W. Vell's Not So Fundamental Greek Grammar, chapter 35. I mean, he's got it all there in one spot, and it's the only place I've ever seen. It's in the lexicon, but it's kind of scattered throughout. It's hard to find in the lexicon. So why are you standing? And now we'll take this participle just as sometimes participles are actually an aspect of the meaning of the verb. So it's not just standing, but standing looking. And so it's kind of a compound verbal idea. if I can sound like a broken record now, in Fundamental Greek Grammar, chapter 20, this is what Veltz calls attendant circumstance participles. Now, that's different from Wallace's attendant circumstance. Well, we won't get into that because it's not our job here at Greek Club to give people headaches. So, we'll take it as sort of completing the meaning of the verb. Why are you standing looking into the sky, into heaven, at the planet Uranus, right? This Jesus, now we'll modify him by putting a participle into attributive position. Which Jesus? The one who was analambanoed. This is from analambano, who was taken up from you into the sky, into heaven. Thus, now the subject, Jesus, elusitai, the future of erkomai, right? He will come. Hun trupon is a little awkward. It's a relative pronoun. Trupon is the manner or way in which something is done. Trupos means way or manner. And we'll make it an accusative of reference. He will come with respect to the manner which you saw him going into heaven, into the sky. Again, it's a little awkward. It's actually a case where the, I feel bad saying this, the antecedent of the relative pronoun is after it when you'd expect it to be in front of it. So you might expect to say, hutas elusitai trupon han. So he will come with respect to the manner which etheasasta from theomai, which you saw him as he was going into heaven, or something like that. So, and if I can just get a little dig in here, and because it's Greek Club and it's Holy Week, notice that the angel doesn't say something like, oh, don't worry, you get to follow him into heaven when you die. He doesn't say that. He says, oh, Jesus was ascended? Guess what? He's coming again. And that's the hope, the great hope. Yes, 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 of course, if I die, which I might not, if I die, my soul is torn apart from my body in a way that is unnatural and grieves the heart of God. And yes, my soul is resting with Christ. Philippians 1, thief on the cross, that whole thing. But that is not, as Michael Feldman would say, the big kielbasa. The big goal is the return of Christ in the same way that they saw him go into heaven. And sometimes people say, well, how will everyone be able to see it if you're on a round planet? And I think Luther once said that God was whittling sticks to beat people in heaven who ask questions like that. So here in Holy Week, that's my answer for that one. So,
does Trapman have any type of like locational aspect to it?
That's a good question. I don't know if it's...
Because I'm not saying he's going to come back the same place, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's more the manner. Okay. Right. Yep. Although some people... haben wir Greek Club heute. That's right. Wir übersetzen. Right. So our esteemed president is walking by and two important persons with him. And we're happy to see them. And if you're listening, please give lots of money. This is, Greek Club has many purposes. It just moved into the fundraising endeavor, especially to the library. Yeah, because Lyle is here. So, okay, good. Questions about verse 11. Again, it's a familiar verse, but the Greek is actually not too bad, right? Okay, verse 12. Tata hip estrepsan es Yerusalem, apa uranas tu kalumenu elionas, ha esten engus Yerusalem, sabatu echan hadan. This took me a little while to figure out. At first it's easy. Then, this is a verb now, it's from hippostrepo. They returned, just a weak aorist. You can see the augment, nice, easy form. Aorist indicative active, third plural. Then they return into Jerusalem from the mountain. Remember that the noun aros is a third declension. So arus, I mean, if you're not paying attention, you might think that arus is accusative plural, like lagus or something. But it's genitive singular after apa. So it goes aros, ta aros, then to arus. So from the mountain, now let's modify mountain with a participle. The one being called of the olive grove. I had to actually look this up. Elia is olive oil. And elion, of which this is the genitive singular, means orchard or olive grove. So the Mount of the Olive Grove is what we call, of course, the Mount of Olives. So from the mountain, the one being called of the olive grove, which, and by the way, note the relative pronoun there is neuter singular because its antecedent is mountain, which is neuter singular, right? Which is near Jerusalem. I think the noun Jerusalem does not decline. It never changes its form. But if it did, it would be dative. I think you're near to something in the dative, if I'm not mistaken. But now we have a little bit of a funny construction. Sabatu Echon Hadan. Echon is, as you might expect, a form of echo. And it's actually just the participle. It's the present active participle, neuter singular nominative. And its referent is the relative pronoun, which. See? And under all normal circumstances, echo means to have. But there's some kind of interesting lexical sliding that can go on from time to time. And it can actually express the extent or duration of time or distance. So as an example, I can't remember. It's in John somewhere. Let me just take a guess. John 2. Where is it that they say to Jesus, you don't even have 50 years yet, and have you seen God? Is that John 8? Is that where that is? And then he says, is that right? There's a similar construction in John with a time expression. It's similar. That's not exactly the same. John 8:57, the Jews therefore said to him, 50 years not yet do you have, and have you seen Abraham? At any rate here, you could make sense of it by doing it literally with what we normally think the meaning of echo is. So do it something like this, which, having the way of a Sabbath, is near to Jerusalem. You take the participle and put it in the translation, you put it closer to the referent. And I was thinking about this this morning, and I wonder if a causal translation would work, which, because it has the way of a Sabbath, which is an idiom that means a Sabbath's day journey, right? There's a certain amount of distance that you're allowed to travel on a Sabbath, right? And there's an entire tractate of the Mishnah that's devoted to boundaries, you know, and, you know, how far can you walk and under what circumstances and those kinds of things. So it's just telling us that the Mount of Olives, apparently you could take a Sabbath afternoon stroll from at least portions of Mount Zion to the Mount of Olives, right? I was going to say a Sunday afternoon outing, but I guess it would be a Saturday afternoon outing, right? So that's what that's about. Not a little bit of awkwardness, but not much payoff, if I could say it that way. So why don't we keep going, and we can, I think, get all the way through the end of the paragraph because we have a lot of names, which are easy enough. So verse 13, Kai hata eis eilthon, eis ta hipiroon, on ebezon, hu eson kata menantes, ha te Petras, kai Ioannes, kai Iacobos, kai Andreas, Philippos, kai Thomas, Bartolomaios, kai Matthaios, Iacobos Alphaeu, kai Simon Hazalotes, kai Judas Iacobu. And when they entered from Asirkamai, into the upstairs place, hipiroos means upstairs or in the upper part of a building. On Ebezon, they went up, where another periphrastic participle, katameno, means to live or stay, where they were staying. And who's the they? The article has an accent because te, which leads off a sequence, is enclitic. So the Peter and John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew. No, they're typically paired like this, you know, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew. James of Alphaeus, probably son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Jude of James. Again, probably son of James, although it could be brother, especially because we know that, although this is not the brothers of Jesus because they're named in the next verse. So Luke is setting the stage. They're up in the upper room there in Jerusalem. And then verse 14, and we'll do that maybe quickly and stop. Hutoi pantas eison pros kartiaruntas homothimadon te prasioke sin ginaixen kai mariam te metri tu Jesu kai tos adolfois autu. These ones all, another paraphrasis, were devoting themselves, were being devoted from pros kartereo. Hamathimadon is an adverb. It means wholeheartedly, right? To prayer with the women and a particular woman, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and interestingly, from out of the blue, we don't know how this happened except through post-resurrection appearances, his brothers, right? And that sets the stage for verse 15 and following, where the successor to Judas as the 12th patriarch of the new Israel will be chosen. So, and that's time to go to class. So, very good. And a blessed Holy Week to one and all.